Good morning. It is a Thursday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, I guess we'll start in Massachusetts today. AP source, headline, Joe Kennedy to challenge Senator Markey in primary.
Here we go. You know, the Kennedys are royalty in Massachusetts. We all remember Jack Kennedy and how he came up and his father doing everything in his power to get him the senatorial nomination. First he was a congressman and then he was running for Senate. And that's in a lot of people's minds. Markey, who is being endorsed by almost every incumbent that you could possibly name, is symbolic of all those people who don't want to be primaried. Markey is a liberal. He's a little bit older now, and there's a sense that maybe it's time to make way for the new guy. So we'll see. I'm sure if Kennedy gets the nomination, nobody's going to turn their back on him. But right now, Markey has the incumbents. I don't know if that helps him or not. Where young Kennedy is seen as a formidable candidate, and I expect there'll be an awful lot of people in Massachusetts who will be sort of holding their breath on this one.
Speaking of holding their breath, let's go to Canada. Major story making news this morning about the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, who's in hot water after a photograph has surfaced of him wearing brown face makeup at a 2001 private school party. He's apologized, says he's asking Canadians for forgiveness, and the outrage is quite audible from the opponents as he faces an upcoming election.
The opponent, of course, is a conservative, so this is pretty interesting. And the opponent is saying, oh, this is racism. This is very, very bad. You never know how these things break. There are those who think that, when somebody comes out in blackface, it's a disgrace. It's a career killer forever and ever and ever. But remember, he was a very young man, and it was a terrible thing, and he's apologized for it. And I have to say, a lot of people could learn from him. The apology was extraordinarily effective, I thought. You know, he didn't fool around about it. He didn't make any excuses. This is a very close election, by the way, and we'll see whether Trudeau can survive it or not. My bet is that the apology will go a long way to helping him.
Some major breaking news in the Washington Post. It's being reported in many other locations this morning, including CNN. President Trump's interaction with a foreign leader who's been unnamed is part of a controversial whistleblower complaint. U.S. officials say the president's communications with the foreign leader included a, quote, promise regarded as so troubling that it prompted an intelligence official to file the complaint.
Well, let's put it this way. Presidents have, under the United States Constitution, tremendous amount of power when it comes to international relations, when it comes to dealing with other foreign leaders. So it would have to be something extraordinary. Some of the top officials, David, of the administration will be coming forward, are called by Congress, and this one is going to leak. So we're going to know what was promised and to whom. The president talked to about five different leaders that week, so we don't know who it is. I doubt very much this has risen to the top of the heap from the Dutch, for example, leader. We know North Korea, we know Russia, we know some of these other places. All were on the phone with him, so we'll see.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State Pompeo is calling the attacks on Saudi oil facilities an act of war. President Trump is ordering increased sanctions on Iran. You also have this side story of the president now having a new national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, stateside.
David, the last thing that the Saudis want is a war. I don't think they think they can win it. I think they think it would be critical to the wrecking, as we saw, of their infrastructure. They don't have the number of bodies that the Iranians have and are willing to use, because that is their MO. There is no question that anybody who wants to make heroes out of the Iranians should think twice. These leaders, the people are pretty good, but the leaders are not good people. And this is a real dilemma, because the United States doesn't want a war. It's not convenient for Trump right now politically, and it certainly isn't helpful to the Saudis. The Saudis are despicable people, the leadership, killing people, oppressing people. So it's going to be very hard for this country to come in and say, okay, we're going to be on your side and we're going to mobilize our people to die for you. I doubt that very much. So it's a hell of a problem.
Problem for Benjamin Netanyahu. President Trump, says the Washington Post, appears to give Netanyahu the cold shoulder. Our relations are with Israel, he said.
Well, that's right. Now, we don't know where this is going. There are reports in the papers as we speak that Netanyahu will form another government. It won't be good for him. Remember that he had a special election just because he couldn't stand the fact that he didn't win the last time. This is even worse for him. So Netanyahu is in a bad spot. The president is looking at the thing he always looks at, which is the prospect of re-election. And this isn't helpful to him, that's for sure. So he's moving away. If there's one thing you can't expect from the president, it's what he expects from everybody else, and that's, quote, loyalty. This is not a guy who stands by his friends no matter what. So that while he has done everything but go out and personally campaign for Netanyahu, and he actually has by the promises he's made, this is a significant move that he's moving away. Whether or not Netanyahu stays in office, well, we'll have to just wait and see.
President Trump signed his name yesterday, Alan, on a newly constructed section of the U.S.-Mexico border wall. He called it a world-class security system that will be virtually impenetrable. He was touring a section of the border wall in San Diego's Otay Mesa area. Many have said, of course, many on the Democratic side, but other experts have said this isn't the kind of security you need.
Yeah. You know, he's decided, and I don't know whether he's right or not, that his base thinks this wall is the paramount thing. So he goes and tells another lie, and he talks about how important this is when it isn't. But he's staying with it, because if he doesn't, you know, it looks like he's given up. So he's done it. And the Democrats are predictably saying, hey, we've stopped you so far, we'll keep on stopping you. They may not use those words, but that's what's going on here.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok.